One of the things I like the most about communion is that it's highly experience-oriented. As you know, because many of us come from different traditions, there are many different ways to take communion. As a Methodist, we used to come forward and kneel at the railing, and the minister would serve it. There's intinction, we serve it in the pews. And there's also a lot of ways that different churches and different people view communion. For some, like in our congregation, these are symbols of the body and blood of Christ. Other churches feel that it actually transubstantiation, they change. Some churches are in between. But the thing I really like about it is that no matter what you think about communion, if you don't come and experience it, it means nothing at all, right? These elements could sit on this table and they look very pretty, the grape juice, you know, in the glass, and it looks gorgeous. But no matter what it means to you, unless you come and you experience its meaning through a life in Christ, then it doesn't really mean much at all. One of the reasons in this denomination that we invite children to the table, sometimes people, when I was growing up, I think I was 12, 1969, so I was 12 when I did confirmation, and then you could take communion after that. And the idea is that you would be taught about communion. And we do have a communion education here in the Sunday school. But ultimately, how can you teach this? Because I don't really understand it, do you? Do you understand the mystery of Christ? Do you understand how if you eat some gluten-free crackers and drink some grape juice, it can be life-changing? It's something that you have to experience. And that's why we invite all people to the table in this denomination. No matter how old, no matter how young, if you are a believer, if you have no idea what you believe, because the only way that Christ can become real, again, is to experience him in our lives. The scripture today, you can either celebrate Epiphany or baptism, and for some reason the narrative lectionary didn't really do either, but it's about discipleship, it's about evangelism. And that's a word that we're not always so comfortable with in the mainline Protestant church. One of the things I love about the United Church of Christ is the emphasis on a learned clergy, is the emphasis on using our intellects and our minds along with our hearts and spirits to understand what the Bible has to say to us about Christ. But sometimes we can get a little bit, what's the right word? I don't know. You know what I mean about evangelism? We feel like, well, we don't want to pressure anyone. We don't want to force our views on anyone. And I'm not suggesting that we do that today. But what is the response that we have when Christ comes into our life? Do we just go home after we take communion and we've experienced God and then we say, well, that was awesome. You know, next month, I hope that happens again. Or do we feel motivated in some way to share the love and the experience of Christ with other people and to share that out in the world? The passage for today I just love because the disciples are around Jesus and they want to know where he lives. And as far as I know, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think it ever says that Jesus actually lived anywhere. It seems like he was pretty itinerant. He traveled around and he was like, you want to see where I live? You want to know who I am? You want to know what my ministry is about? Come on. Come on down. Come and see. And he called people to follow him. And indeed, they could see what he was about. They could see that he was about including the people that nobody else wanted to include. He was about healing people who were in need. He was about bringing a very strong message about those of us that are in a position of power and privilege, what we are called to do for those who are poor, for those who are not privileged in society. But it wasn't something he could just sit them down and tell them about. It was something that he invited them to come and see. Communion is really that way too, right? What does the bread mean? What does the juice mean? We have to come and we have to see. Now, the people who lived in Jesus' day admittedly had an advantage, I think, in that they could actually follow him. They actually could see what he was doing. And I've had so many people say to me, you know, Bonnie, my faith seems stale. I don't know how to see God or to see Christ in the world anymore. And the answer is still the same. If we want to see Christ in the world, we need to follow him. We need to look, and it's not so hard for me to see. Many of you were at the delicious breakfast that the youth group made for us last week, right? Did you see Christ in their faces? Did you see God among the people that were sitting in Jordan Hall? I did. Everybody was having such a great time. Everybody felt so connected. Everybody felt like a real congregation, the body of Christ on earth, and it came from our youth and our children. Have you seen someone, or have you been that person at someone's bedside when they're dying, and you take their hand and you just feel the Spirit? That is how you see Christ. There are so many ways, if we just look around us, the person bringing the meal to someone in need, the person who says, I know that you have to go to a doctor's appointment and you don't like to drive. Let me drive you. What? It's 6 o'clock in the morning? Fine, I'll be up. I'll do that. And here's a cup of coffee for the journey along the way. We have to be willing to open our hearts and get out of our own way sometimes to see how Christ is still alive in the world. And we have to be the bringers and the bearers of that. Communion is a one way that we can experience it. Communion is one way where we, when we are served the body and the blood of the cup of Christ, that we can open our hearts in a way that we don't understand and say to God, show me Christ. Show me Jesus today. And we don't have to know what it's going to look like, because that's how I trip myself up all the time, right? Oh, it's going to look like this. I'm going to have this experience of communion, or I'm going to feel the love of God in this way in the world, and then it doesn't happen. And I'm like, how come it didn't happen? Well, it happened. It just didn't happen in the way that I expected it to look, and so I missed all the other ways that it was going on. But this is a meal of experience. It's a meal of mystery. It's a meal of love. It's a meal that calls each of us today. Come and see the love of Christ. So that's what we offer you today in this holy meal.